somebody. Hallelujah. Let me look at someone and tell them happy anniversary. Look at somebody else and tell them happy anniversary.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Is it better? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can hear me now. Okay, so now, appreciate the mistress of grace. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. Media, I'll give you 30 seconds. Get it right and leave it. Okay? So that we can enjoy the atmosphere. Hallelujah. You're welcome to God's presence again this evening. This day one of the 25th anniversary celebration services. I will welcome our online audience. You're welcome in the name of the Lord. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will meet with you. And the Lord will do what only He can do these 4 days in our lives in the name of Jesus. No one will go back the same in the name of Jesus. God never leaves Himself or never leaves us without a witness. There will be witnesses that we have met with Him this weekend in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 34 and verse 8, the scripture says that, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he that puts his trust in the Lord." It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he, is the man who trusts in him." So we can say that indeed the Lord has been good these 25 years. We have tasted of his goodness. We have tasted of his grace. And he has shown us that he is worthy of being trusted. We give God the glory and the praise. We give God the glory and the praise. That's what we are saying these 25 years. Says that we have tasted of his goodness. And we can say that God is good. God is good. You know, before, about a couple of months before now, thinking about the anniversary, I was just thinking about the wonders of his grace. That's what I kept thinking about. The wonders of his grace. The wonders of his grace. The wonders. I was just thinking about the wonders of his grace. And about a month or so ago, when we had the period where we had Reverend Lake Confessional, I asked that man, "What's the thing?" And he said, "From glory to glory." And I know that God is speaking to us and he's telling us what he said to do. That no matter what we have seen of him, we're about to see him in a greater dimension. We're about to see his faithfulness in a stronger measure. We're about to see his mercies and experience, his kindness, in a deeper way. And I want to encourage each and every one. We can say, like Moses said in the book of Numbers, that come thou with us and we will do thee good, because God has spoken good concerning us. Hallelujah. Amen. I have an old song that is on my heart. I don't know whether you knew it. It says, "I have tasted of your goodness. I have tasted of your grace. I've seen your loving kindness in so many ways. We have waited in your presence and we'll never be the same. I have tasted of you, Lord.
And all that I can say is you are good. You are good. You are merciful to me and you supply my every need. You are good. You are good. I have tasted and I see that you are good.
It's an old song. You know, I was pondering on God's faithfulness, and you know, as we were looking at some of the old pictures while we were sorting some things in the office. Then I remember that song because we used to sing it in Bodija. I remember that we used to sing that song. And I thought about it, I thought about the wordings of the song, and I saw that it is very apt. We have tasted of His goodness. We have tasted of His grace. We have seen His loving kindness in so many ways. We can tell of the truth that God is good. He's been good to us as an assembly. He's been good to us as households. He's been good to us as individuals. And I was telling someone 2 days ago, I said, you know, when the vision was birthed in 1994, before we started the assembly in 2000, we were much younger. This is 30 years. That was about 31 years ago. So if you remove 31 from everybody's age, some, it will be negative. Abi, the thing will enter negative because you were not born then. Because the way you are looking at me. But if you remove 31 from the ages of the founding members, how old do you think they really were? So they must have known God. And they must have taken courage and obedience to God to step out and to fulfill what God has placed in their hearts. And now I'm saying, set man at that time. They must have taken courage. They must have taken conviction of the reality of the God that spoke to him before you launched out and started this. Amen. And in those 30, over almost 31 years, God has been gracious. I remember sometime around, I think April in the year 2000, April or May, that man called us in Bodija. I'm sharing this for a reason. And he told us that we'll start Sunday morning service. He shared what was in his heart with us. And then he said we went around the neighborhood, we distributed IVs, we put it on the gates and the doors. And he said we are looking at 2nd of July. And by the 2nd of July, by God's grace, we'll start Sunday morning service. And now, this was a fellowship that was now metamorphosing into a Sunday morning service. So many people already had, even they go to their parents' churches. So I can tell you that even at that time, when we were about to start Sunday morning service, some people dropped out. You know, it was like when Jesus spoke in John chapter 6 and he started talking about how that his body was the bread, real bread, and that his blood was a real drink. And some people went back from following him because they thought, what was he talking about? Then Jesus said in John chapter 6, about verse 44, he says, no one can come to me, except the Father draws him. Just as it is written that they shall hear the thought of the Lord. And it went on and went on, and many of the people that used to follow Jesus went back. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and he asked them, are you not leaving? And they said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life,
And also we have come to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Those whom God has assigned to you will gravitate towards you. And no matter the season, they will not leave you. Amen. In 1 John chapter 2, some people went back. You know, they stopped following. And John spoke and he said, some people went out from us. He said, because they were never of us. Say, because if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. So if anybody walks out of your life or walks out of a vision, maybe because they were not originally meant to be there. Stop freezing over it. I'm speaking to someone particularly. Stop getting worked up over it. If somebody walks out, maybe they were not meant to be there. Because if they were meant to be there, they will continue. Jesus said concerning the apostles, I mean the disciples, in Luke 22:28, he said that you are those that have continued with me in my trials. So there are people that have continued, that continue with people because God assigned them. Hallelujah. And we thank God 25 years after, and we are still here, still standing. Lives being changed, destinies being rescued. And God is still saying that He's showing He's going to do more. He's going to do more. He's going to do more. We give Him all the glory. We have tasted of His goodness. We have tasted of His grace. He has shown us His kindness in so many ways. We have waited in His presence and would never be the same. We have tasted of You, Lord, and all that we can say is You are good. You are good. You've been merciful to us, and You met all our needs. You are good. You are good. We have tasted and we see that You are good. You are good. You are good. You've been merciful to us, and You met our every need. You are good. You are good. We have tasted and we see that You are good. Almighty God will proclaim Your goodness, will celebrate Your mercies and Your faithfulness. Thank You for 25 years of Your kindness, 25 years of journeying with us, 25 years of showing Yourself strong in our lives. Thank You, 25 years of building Your church. Thank You for lives that have been raised and transformed. Thank You for destinies that have been rescued and set on course. Thank You for all that You have done and You have been, and all that You will yet do. We declare this service and this celebration meetings opened in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let Your counsel stand. Let Your name be exalted. Let Your glory be revealed. Let our lives be changed. Thank You, Most High. We bless and glorify You. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's good to see everyone. And we will still see many more people. Amen. Satman is on his way. In traffic. But he will be in Ibadan today. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'll be sharing with us very briefly. So that anyway, it's raining, there's no way you are going. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm grateful for the privilege to open this meeting. Thanks, Batman. Thank the leadership. And thank God for everything that He has done and is set to do in our lives in the name of Jesus. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read very quickly the whole of that chapter and I'll speak briefly. This evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll take it from verse 1 to verse 18. It says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the whole Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, have been transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's read Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And verse 7. Psalm 84 and verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. And lastly, let's read Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. Proverbs 4 and verse 18. It says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. You can go back to 2 Corinthians 3. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Amen. So the theme is from glory to glory. And if we're saying from glory to glory, it means that we have been brought into a condition or a state where we are experiencing and exhibiting a level of glory. Hallelujah. Where we are experiencing a level of glory. Because every time the Spirit of God is involved in a life or in a situation, the outcome is going to be glorious. The outcome is going to be glorious. As long as the Spirit of God is involved. So if the Spirit of God is involved in a life, the outcome of that life is going to be glory. And glory, the word glory in Hebrew is called is kabod, which means weight. In the New Testament, it's talking about splendor. Another word you can use for glory is honor or dignity. So the outcome of whatever it is that the Spirit of God gets involved in will be glorious. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 15, it says, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness shall become a fruitful field. So it was a wilderness before, but at the outpouring of the Spirit, at the instance of the involvement of the Spirit, at the contact with the Spirit of God, the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. And because of the continuous contact, continuous involvement, the fruitful field moves and emerges to becoming a forest. Hallelujah. So we experience one level of glory because the Spirit of God is now in our lives. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says, having delivered us from the powers of darkness. That what power means, from the authority or control or the influence of darkness. He delivered us from that control of darkness. And darkness can have control because of what forefathers have done. Because it is authority, it is a legal term. Which means that the darkness had a legal basis to have a hold on somebody's life. They may have a legal basis to have a hold on a particular family. They may have a legal basis to have a hold either on the children that are born into a family. It's a legal term. So when he says the Bible that Jesus delivered us from the authority of darkness, it was a very serious thing that Jesus did. I've told us before of an incident that happened at a village that we went to minister years ago, somewhere in Ogun State. I've shared that story before. And we went there to go and minister, to go and preach. When we were done, days after we left, the pastor came to, the missionary that was the link, came to the town. And he said he wanted to come and share a testimony with us. We said, what was it? He said, days after we left, the pastor slept. Then he had a dream. In the dream, he saw himself in a particular location in that village. It was a location he was familiar with. So he saw himself in a location and he saw something that looked like a shrine. And, you know, as he woke up, the early hours of the morning, he went there. He saw the shrine like that. He saw like a pot that was inverted, as though a pot was used to cover something. So he opened it. As he opened it, he saw a, Yes, like a mannequin. A mystical mannequin. That Yorubas will call Shigidi. He saw a mystical mannequin. No, I'm saying, sharing this story for you. I'm explaining Colossians 1:13. He saw a mystical mannequin that was placed on a piece of paper that was folded. So the piece of paper was folded. So things were written on the piece of paper and then folded, and then the mystical mannequin was placed on the paper, and then a pot was now used to, like a calabash, was now used to cover the whole thing. So when he removed the pot, removed the mystical mannequin, opened the paper, then he saw names of families written, listed, and at the end of it, they said, as long as this name, this paper, does not see the sun, these families will not rise. This is not the movie. This is what the man saw. He said, now, you see, that kind of a family, they will be struggling. They will be going through things. But they don't even have an explanation for what they are going through. And at the root of it was a curse. Hallelujah. Was a curse. Now, anyone that also marries into such a family, do you understand? That's how some people just go through some unending cycle and they don't understand. And they say, we are working. We are doing what is wrong. Sometimes it's like that. Now, whatever it is that happened, nobody knows the background story to what happened that made anybody do that to the families that were listed. Maybe it was in exchange for something. Because the devil is not a nice devil. The devil doesn't give anything for free. Hallelujah. He doesn't give anything for free. Don't do any deal with the devil. Don't get into any business with the devil. Hallelujah. See, it is 10% that people are shouting, 10%. Why must we keep giving 10%? The devil will collect 100% plus your life. Amen. So, there may be a legal basis where a family or an individual is struggling, is going through crisis, is just experiencing things that cannot be explained. But the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, having delivered us from the power, from such authority, from such control of the darkness, He has translated us to the kingdom of the Son of His love. That is glory in expression, in experience. It's a measure of glory. Hallelujah. If anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Media, please help me with this thing. I don't like the sound. It's a new creation, a new creation, a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. The kind that has not existed before. And behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. All things have become new. I've told you that, see, being born again, being a new creation is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's something you need to be celebrating every day. It's something you need to be celebrating every moment. It's something you need to be forever grateful for. It is not just that your destination has now been changed, that you have been rescued from eternal damnation. It is that even here on earth, you are guaranteed to live a glorious life. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, or from verse 29. It says that for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that the Son will become the firstborn amongst many brethren. Those whom He predestined, He called. Those whom He called, He justified. And those whom He justified, He glorified. Those whom He justified, He glorified them. In other words, He lifted them up and exalted them to an heavenly condition or state of dignity. Being a Christian is a dignified life. Hallelujah. See, there are some things that are not consistent with being a new creation. Shame is not consistent with being a new creation. Shame is not consistent with being a new creation. Because those whom He justified, He glorified them. He exalted them. He exalted them. That's why He says that we look to Him. We are lightened. And our faces are not ashamed. It's not consistent with being a new creation. If you are constantly grappling with shame. So anything that causes shame is not of God.
And God is stripping it off you this weekend in the name of Jesus. God is separating you from everything that is a source of shame in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of the members of your family, in the name of Jesus. That's why he can say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Then he says, they look to him. Then they are lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. Because if he has rescued you from the pit, it is not to put you just on the ground, it is to put you on the throne. That's why he picks the one from the dunghill. And he picks the beggars, that he may sit them with the princes. When God rescues, he rescues you to elevate you, to exalt you, to glorify you. For every child of God, your destiny is glorious. Listen to me well. Every child of God has a glorious destiny. This is why it is not consistent. It's an abomination. It's contrary when, as a believer, you are envious of another believer. It means you don't know what God is doing. Because you have a glorious destiny. Your destiny is equally glorious. See, you may not have come to the time of the full manifestation. You may be seeing somebody else's manifestation. It is an indication to you that you are on the right path. And that the same God, he makes his rays to shine upon the good and the wicked. The same God is rich unto all that calls on him. The same God. It means that that same God has glorious destiny in line for you. If the brothers of Joseph knew what was awaiting them in their loins, in their lineage, they would not have tried to kill Joseph. If his brothers knew, if Judah, for instance, knew that through his line, that's where Christ was going to come from, he would not be envious of a Joseph. Do you understand what I'm saying? He would not be envious of Joseph. If he knew, if only he knew that he has a glorious destiny. Now I'm telling you, you know. So you don't need to have a problem rejoicing with those that are rejoicing. You should not have a problem and weeping with those who weep. You should not have a problem with rejoicing and celebrating those who are celebrating. Because you know that this same God is also in your neighborhood. Hallelujah. Every child of God has a glorious destiny. We have 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 a glorious destiny. So he said in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. I will multiply them, they shall not be few. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. Let somebody say, I know that I cannot be small. Say it again. I know that I cannot be small. This is not you bragging, you know. No. You are. This is what we call confession. Confession means is called homologia, which is you are saying the same thing that God is saying. That's confession. You are saying exactly the same thing that God is saying. So God is saying you cannot be small. So you are saying I cannot be small. You can't. What he has brought us into is a glorious life. We have a glorious destiny. We have a glorious life in Christ Jesus. You have a glorious life in Christ Jesus.
As a church, we have a glorious destiny in Christ Jesus. And that is not even just what alone what we are talking about. We are now saying that God is now moving us from glory to glory. From glory to glory. From one level, from one experience, from one condition of weightiness, of honor to another. To another. Look at what Job said. Please give us Job. If you have Job in the New Living Translation, Job chapter 29, I believe verse 19. Look at what Job said. Job said, I am like a tree. In the New Living Translation, I am like a tree whose roots reach the water, whose branches are refreshed with the dew. New honors are constantly bestowed on me, and my strength is continually renewed. New honors are constantly bestowed on me. New honors are constantly bestowed on me. If you think that, this is the highest, God will open another page. New honors. It's new honors constantly. It's a regular. Regular. New honors are constantly bestowed on me, and my strength is continually renewed. This is from glory to glory. It's from glory to glory. New honors are constantly bestowed on me, and my strength is continually renewed. See, sometime early this year, I just started sensing or feeling as though, and I think I said it here at the point that, as if we completed a cycle. You know, when I saw all the mighty men that finished school, all the young ladies that finished school, I felt as though we completed a cycle. And I was feeling like, God, what next? And I remember this scripture. And I remember that God says, what have raised this place for? Is that we are just starting. We are all just starting. So we need fresh grace, fresh strength, so that we don't get tired. We need to constantly exchange our weakness for His own strength. Like Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Running and not being weary is not natural. If you keep running, at a point you should get tired. But if you are able to run and you don't get to the point of being tired, it means that it is not by your own strength. It means you have exchanged your weakness for His own strength. In fact, back up a bit. Give us from verse 28. It says, have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. Never faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. 29, He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Even the youth shall faint, because the glory of youth is actually their strength. So even if the youth now get to the point of being tired, and He says that those that wait on the Lord, it means that there is an exchange. There's an exchange of your limitations for God's unlimitedness. There's an exchange of your limitation, the lead over your own understanding. You are exchanging it for God's intelligence. There's an exchange of your own resources for God's vast resources. So it means that you never get to the point where you burn out. You don't gas out. Because your strength is constantly renewed. We ask God to strengthen us afresh. As we start on this new journey, this new phase, this new set of people. That God is, you know, it's like a processing plant. He just brings them in, He brings them in, He brings them in, He brings them in. And some of the people that are passed through it will now be some of the people that will be doing the work. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It's from one level of glory to another. New honors are constantly bestowed on us, and our strength is continually renewed. This is the message that the Lord has sent me with tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. It spoke about how that you are our epistles in the first few verses, and how that the lives, the changed lives, are the epistles. We don't need any letter of recommendation. The people are the proof of the grace on the house. Hallelujah. The people, the lives that are changed, they are the grace. They are the proof. They are the testament of the grace, the house. So he says, we don't need any letter of recommendation. Then he said, in verse 4 and 5, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. And he's the one that makes us sufficient. That word sufficient is, in the old King James, says he's the one that makes us able or fit. He's the one that equips us as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives. It is the new covenant that gives life. Amen. It is the ministration of the new covenant that is the ministration of life. And he's talking about what Christ has done. Ministering from the platform of what Christ did. Hallelujah. Now he said in verse 8, which is where we're going to, is a question. It says that if the ministry of death, the 7 written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel couldn't look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Somebody said the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit is more glorious. Hallelujah. The ministry of the Spirit. In other words, a life that is open to the workings of the Spirit. It is the ministration of the Spirit. When you say the ministration of the Spirit, it means that the Spirit is the one ministering or serving the people. There is the ministry of death, which is talking about the old covenant. Now, the ministry of righteousness is the ministry of the Spirit. And the ministry of the Spirit is more glorious. The one in the times of Moses was such that Moses was in God's presence in the book of Exodus. And while he was in God's presence, even he did not know. But because of the time that he spent in God's presence, by the time he came back with the glory. His face was shining and radiating. You know, have you tried to look at the sun before? Have you tried? Can you look at the sun directly? And you know how many million miles the sun is away from the earth? And yet you can't look at it. Now, that is the glory of the sun. The splendor, the brightness of the sun. So Moses was now in God's presence. By the time he came back, his face was radiating light. The people could not look at it. So he had to now put a veil to cover it. But the Bible now tells us that even that thing, that measure that he came back with, it was something that was gradually diminishing. It was fading off. But the people did not even know. So he told us in that scripture that Moses keep covering it. Because as long as he covers it, the people will not know that it has faded off. And it still made the people to still fear him, in a sense. Hallelujah. But he said it was still a glory that was fading. But the ministry of the Spirit is more glorious. It is the glory that excels. Hallelujah. It is the glory that excels. So as we are moving from glory to glory, this is the message. Let's embrace the ministry of the Spirit. Welcome, sir. Let's embrace the ministry of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The ministry of the Spirit. You can be over religious, but you cannot be over spiritual. The more spiritual you are, the more glorious your life. It means that the more allowance you give to the Holy Spirit to actually sit on the throne of your life. And then the more He sits on the throne and controls the affairs of your life, the more glorious your life is guaranteed to be. It means that for as long as the Spirit of God is Lord, because that's what that scripture says, tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you read further down to verse 17, downwards. It says, where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit, there is liberty. And it says that this Lord, the Lord is this Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. So wherever the Spirit is, there is liberty. You will experience liberty. So if the Spirit is poured upon you from on high, according to that Isaiah 32:15, your wildernesses will become fruitful fields. Your fruitful fields will become a forest. So where you give room and you embrace the ministry of the Spirit, it means that there is a guarantee that your wildernesses will become fruitful fields. Your fruitful fields will become forests. It means that you will never have a better yesterday. Proverbs 4:18 that we read says, the path of the just is like a shining sun, and it shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Look at this picture. So, you woke up in the morning, the day breaks, the sun starts rising. As the sun starts rising, it keeps getting brighter, and it keeps getting brighter. So it says that the path of the journey is like that sun that keeps getting brighter. So it is not like when it gets to the peak and then it now starts setting. And now starts setting. He said, no, that's not the way the path of the journey is. It keeps shining brighter and brighter onto the perfect day. When the sun gets to the peak, that is the life of a believer. That is the path of the just. Do you understand what I'm saying? It didn't say that until the sun gets to the peak and then it starts setting, that the life of the believer is keep going up, and then after it has gone up, then it now comes down. That's not the description of the life of a believer. You know, some people say, you know, when things happen, so, you know, in life, we win some, we lose some. That's not Bible. We win some, we lose some. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge. It leads us in triumph in Christ. It leads us, always leads us, always leads us, always leads us in triumph in Christ. So if it is in Christ, victory is guaranteed, which means you can win 100 times out of 100. Psalm 34 verse 19 says, many, many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of some of them. Is that what it says? It says the Lord delivers him out of them all. God is not afraid to deliver out of them all. Paul said the same thing, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. It says, out of the troubles that came to him, he said, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. So it means that everything and anything that comes at you, that you face, remember, the outcome of a believer's life is glorious. Anything that you face, God's design is that you win. God's design is that we win. Now, I know that you want to say that, but in many cases we don't see that some people win. That is your own estimation. Because sometimes what you call a win or what you call a loss may actually be a win, but may not be evident yet. Amen. Jonah was in that ship. Who could have said, but why didn't God save him? Now, the other people,
Jonah knew why the storm came. The company that he had in the ship did not know why the storm came. He had to tell them. Because they cast a lot. So, because of who? Who is the reason why we are having this trouble in this company? Who is the reason why we are having this trouble in this in this in this house? And then they cast the lot. The lot fell on him. He said, "So who are you? Tell us who are you?" He said, then started introducing the God of the earth, the God of creation to them. He said, "I'm actually running away from him. So what should we do to you? Why do they think that they should do something to him?" He said they should carry him and throw him into this, into that ocean. They refused. They were reluctant. But when they could no longer bear it, they said, "Lord, don't charge us for this that we are about to do." As they threw him into the ocean, there was a great calm. Even they bowed down to God, that, "God, you are real." Now, it will look like a loss to them. Oh, the guy is gone. But he knew God. God prepared a will for him. So, sometimes what you think is a loss is not a loss. So, there are people that they ask them to leave a job. And they thought about, "God, I prayed. But God, I prayed. But I prayed about it. Why did I still have to? Why did I still have to lose that job?" Or you were pursuing a contract and then it didn't come true. I said, "But I prayed." Some will even go and start praying. I gave sacrifices. And still didn't get it. Ah. There is always a way that seems right to a man. It seems right means it appears right. He says, but the end of it is a way of destruction. It's death. Sometimes God can shut a door so that you can see the door that was opened but you never saw. Hallelujah. There are some things you shouldn't doubt. You must never doubt whether or not God is for you or not. God is for you. The psalmist said, "This I know, that God is for me." Amen. The ministry of the Spirit. Let's embrace the ministry of the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is the one that makes God real to us in this dispensation. Hallelujah. What Jesus was to the disciples while he was on earth, the Spirit of God is to us now in this age. Jesus said in John chapter 14 from verse 16, it says, from verse 15, it says, "I will not leave you as orphans." Then 16, it goes ahead, it says, "I'm going to send the helper. I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." That's the first thing I want you to note about the ministry of the Spirit. There has to be a consciousness in you that you are not alone. Amen. The psalmist said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He's not bragging, no. He says, "Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There is a consciousness that God was with him. Exodus chapter 33, where Moses was asking God, that if you don't go with us, we will not go. How shall it be known that we are yours? How are we going to be distinguished and different from other countries? Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14, the Lord said, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Ministry of the Spirit. He says, "I will give you another helper. I will pray the Father will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Let somebody say, "I'm not alone." No matter what you are doing, and I mean what you are doing, Whether you are cooking, whether you are traveling, whether you are flying, whether you are on the sea, whether you are reading, whether you are thinking of what to do, you are thinking of what to write, you are thinking of how to put the thoughts together, you are not alone. You have a helper. Be conscious of his presence. Be conscious that he's with you. Be conscious. You see, many people, the Holy Spirit is in us and is in every believer. And many people don't, many people treat him, let me use the word, they snub him. They're not conscious of his presence. They don't engage with him. Hallelujah. So because they don't do that, they don't develop a relationship with him. And he's in our lives to do a whole lot. It's to make this journey easier. It's to make God real. It's to make the end and the outcome glorious. But if you don't engage with him, you will miss out on all of that. You know, some people can be in your house and they don't come out. They can stay in the room unless you compel them. Come to the living room where everybody is. Let's talk. Let's gist. Some people are confident they can stay in the room all by themselves. You know what I'm saying? That's how some people treat the Holy Spirit. He's in their lives, but they don't talk to him. Even when the Spirit tries to lead them or prompt them, they will say, something told me, something. Something told me I should go. Something just told me I should check it. I should check my phone. Ha. It's not something, no. It's someone. It's a person. And it's supposed to be a senior partner in your journey and in your endeavors. It's supposed to be a senior partner in your endeavors. Pastor David M. Gicho of Blessed Memory wrote a book then, Holy Spirit, My Senior Partner. Not just my partner, because my partner is at 50-50. No, this one is senior partner. Whatever he says, it's final. Wherever he leads, we go. Be conscious of his presence. Hallelujah. I'll mention just two things out of the things that he can do and he will do and that will make us have a glorious life. Amen. One of the things Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do, I'll merge them. It says in verse 26, it says he will teach us all things and bring to our remembrance even the things that he had told the disciples. In the case of the disciples, in our own case, the things that we have been initially exposed to, whether words you have heard, messages you have heard, or songs, whatever it is that has initially been deposited in you, it will bring it to your remembrance. Then in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says that it's the Spirit of truth and it will guide you into all truth. One of the things the Holy Spirit will do as a way of ensuring that you move from one level of glory to another is that the Holy Spirit of God will open up to you the mind of God that guarantees your exaltation. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17, God speaking to Isaiah, it says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Who teaches you? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God. Who teaches you to, you can be taught to live a life that is full of rewards. You can be taught to go about what you are doing in such a way that you will suffer no loss. It teaches you to profit. It's not just talking a business. If you are a parent and you raise your child in such a way that at the end of your in later time in life, you are looking at how they have turned out and how they are turning and how they are living their own life, and you are fulfilled. That's a reward. That's profit. Because Isaiah 65:23 says that they shall not bring forth children for trouble, They will not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. Which means that people can labor in vain, and they can bring forth children for trouble. Another translation says they will not bring forth children that are doomed to misfortune. He says they will not labor in vain. So God can teach you to raise them in a way that your labor will not be in vain. God can teach you to manage whatever it is that you are doing, that your labor will not be in vain. It's not just about skill. Skill has its place. There is a point sometimes in life that all that you know will not suffice. You will need to tap into a higher wisdom. There will be a time that your strength will not be sufficient. You will need to tap into a divine strength. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. He guides you into the mind of God. He opens it up unto us. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. It says, however, we speak wisdom, but not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age that come to naught. For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for what? Our glory. So if he opens up this hidden wisdom that God ordained before the ages for our glory, the end result is going to be glorious. Proverbs 25 verse 2 says, it is the glory of God to hide the matter. It is the honor of kings. That word glory and honor is the same Hebrew word. It's kabod, kabod. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search out a matter. So what the king searches out is what exalts him, is what puts him on that pedestal, that makes him appear glorious, appear honorable. Hallelujah. When you embrace the ministry of the Spirit, it opens up to us the mind of God. We will walk with the wisdom of the sages. We will walk with the wisdom that cannot be found amongst men. You see, during the days of Daniel, the king had a dream. The king did not know the meaning of the dream. In fact, it can even be safely presumed that the king actually forgot the dream. So he called people to come and give him the interpretation. Those ones were stalling. They were stalling. The king said, you are trying to... They said, king, tell us the dream. We'll give you the interpretation. The king said, no. If I tell you the dream, how am I sure that the interpretation is the correct interpretation? For me to know that you know what you are saying, first tell me the dream. If you can tell me the dream, I can believe the interpretation also. They said, okay, this request that you made, nobody has made it of any mortal man. The king thought they were extolling. He said they should start executing them. Daniel heard of it. He called the king's eunuch. He said, why is this decision of the king so hasty? Daniel went to the king. He asked for time. He asked the king to give him time. How can we say that? How can you be so sure? That's what the Holy Spirit does. With the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have answers. With the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are not stranded. With the presence of the Holy Spirit, we cannot be boxed into a corner. God will open up the way for us. The place will not close in on us. If God has to shatter it, he will shatter it. We cannot be stranded with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There will always be what to do. He will show us what to do. He will tell us what to do. Because he will not leave us without a witness. Daniel called his friends, his companions. They sought the God of heavens and earth, the revealer of secrets. Listen, you see what happened? The Lord revealed the dream of the king to Daniel. You know, it's one thing to give a word of knowledge. You are telling somebody what the person has done. But it's another layer, another level. You are telling the person, what the person experienced in his or her dream. He now told the king, not just the dream, but the interpretation. Because there is the God that reveals secrets. And before this God, both darkness and light, they are alike. The Holy Spirit will give you insight concerning what you need to do, concerning the next stage of your life, concerning the next step you are to take. Don't neglect it. Engage with the Holy Spirit, that you can move from one level of glory to another. Because some people are worried, they are bothered, and the source of the worry is, God, what next? And you see, that question can be so burdensome, that what next? That I don't know what next to do. It can be so weighty, it can be so overwhelming, that some can even slip into depression through it. That, God, what next am I supposed to do? I was sharing with someone last week that there was a young man some years ago. He's older now, much older now. When he left school, that question, what next, was what was coming. He set himself apart for about 40 days to wait on God. At the end of the 40 days, Psalm 2 and verse 8 came alive to him, where the Lord said, ask of me, and I will give you the heathens as your inheritance, the nations of your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. That's the scripture that came to him. From there, the man saw that God had given him the whole world as a stage. He's a Zimbabwean. But it was that scripture that God gave him. He was the one that founded Econet. You know Econet? Some people may not know Econet. Econet that metamorphosed and metamorphosed and metamorphosed and became Airtel today. He's the founder of Airtel and Econet. It has been sold. And Kwese TV in Zimbabwe. But it's Psalm 2, verse 8. He asked God. He didn't use Agbari. He asked God. He didn't use Agbari. He asked God. Because unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain those that try to build it. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman is just staying awake in vain. It is vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. For God gives us the Lord sleep. The Holy Spirit will give you insight into things you do not know. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 16, the Lord says, and I will lead the blind by the way they do not know. There are ways you have not known. There are paths in God. There are paths in God that God will open your eyes to. You see, you don't know how there is to your life yet. Let God hold your hands. Let Him lead you into the truth. Let Him lead you into His reality for you. Develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the ministry of the Spirit is glorious. Amen. Let me stop here. We'll continue to service this tomorrow. I believe God has something great, something huge, something awesome in store for us. As we step into this 26th year, is from one level of glory to another, from one level of strength to another. As we yield to the Spirit's prompting, the Spirit's leading, the Spirit's direction, the counsel of the Lord will be fulfilled in our lives. Grace and more grace will be released upon us in the name of Jesus. It says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, it hasn't entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for those that love Him. But God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. No man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of that man. So also no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us, that we might know the things. It will make us know the things that is given to us this new year. And these things are foolishness to the natural mind, though, but they make absolute spiritual sense
to our spirits. So we are going to receive them with our spirits first. And we will articulate them. We speak them. We speak them. We execute them. We action them. And they come into being. I want us to ask God for grace this evening. Grace. Grace. That the Spirit will take His rightful place in our hearts. And even in our midst. Because the ministry of the Spirit is glorious. It's more glorious. The ministry of the Spirit is more glorious. Is more glorious. E kaba hasta chekedia ba. Ma rekete pele brahede bosa hatelia. Rasa kete pekedia ndale bosa hate. Rasa kete pakaria ndale bahasa to friendelia ande. Rekete beshata yala brahasa kete. Ike deba diastatane mambro sofestelia kadabosa hate. Raste tepe kete poka diaga da bahaza hate liada. Ambro so teke dianga da bosa hate. Ere debe di kalabro hosa hate. I see it like a gift that's about to be unwrapped. God is about to open up to someone what He has prepared for you. And it's been unwrapped. 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 In the coming days, we are stepping into the newness of what God has prepared for you. In the coming days, the news that will be coming, there are things that you have longed for, but you never knew that it's coming this soon. In the name of Jesus. Razetona shandala bahate pekedia sito prehe fekete. Ege de bediga daba lembro hosta hate. That long battle with sickness comes to an end tonight. In the name of Jesus. Zitane kentoba lianda labosa. I see someone. There's that constant recurring pain at the base of your belly. It comes to an end tonight. 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 In the name of Jesus. Marintos the Sufre, Hede Gedebalia to Pacaria Gadabahasahate, Rede Beta Pekedian Gadabo Sahate, Razetona Shanda Labatoka Yande, Rimbe de Begedebosa, Rakatoba Siataha, Erete Beketapo Karianda Labadosa, Ifrakadusa Namano Tapalia Katoba Zianda Labadosa Hate. In the Libetiga de Bedoba Duba Zadebodo Godo 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 Bolta Hada Padia Katabahate, Haroto Poketiza de Posa, Efrete Pinde de Bohosa. Here we are to worship, here we are to bow, here we are to say that You're our God. You're all together, Lord. All together, one. All together, one. Yeah, we are. Thank you.
that. But the Lord has me to tell you, I am here. I am here. I am here, and I am here to stay. I am here. You are the one feeling like it's distant. It's not. It's a very present help. A very present help. Continue. He's here. Don't try to touch him with your feelings. It's by faith. It's by faith. Whoever comes to him must believe that he is. And he will reward out those that diligently seek.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.